The thrust of today's shiur, based of course on the Biur HaGra, going a little bit further, is the difference between the lav of loisachmoid and loisisave as they are presented in the Dluchos HaRishonos and as they are presented in Parshas Veschanan by the Chazora or the Luchos Shniyos, however it is explained by the Mefarshim. So the Vilna Gaon has a certain mahalach, and in contrast to that mahalach, I'm giving you several others, so that we should better understand his mahalach here. Now, first of all, if you look at the psukim in Mishlei Perek Beis that are noigeya to us, you'll notice that the seder of the perek describes how if a person is oisek in Torah and mitzvahs, in working on himself and developing his positive tchunas hanefesh based on the Torah, it will save him from, on the one hand, an ish ra, and on the other hand, from an isha ra. You'll take a look at the pasuk in the top of the page. Mezima tishmar alecha tevuna tinserekot will protect you. Lahatzilcha miderech ra meish medaber tapuchos. The image of the sitra achra of the satan is an ish medaber tapuchos, a male image, a zohar. If you'll take a look a few psukim later. The image here is, again, the Torah should save you and protect you from the Sitra Achra, from the Satan. But here the imagery is not of a Zohar, but of a Nekeva. And you'll notice that the parallel is to be understood because the repetition of the word L'Hatzilcha Me. There it's L'Hatzilcha, and here it's L'Hatzilcha. But before it's ish medaber tapuchos, and here it's ish azora nochria. And the psukim that follow are in the zohar, and after ish azora in the nekeva. In other words, it's like a little paragraph keilu about how Torah saves you from the tzad ha-satan, which is called the tzad ha-zohar. And the Tzad HaNekeva has its own paragraph, a few psukim after, how the Torah saves you from the Tzad HaNekeva of the Satan. So we will dwell here, I'm skipping a little bit, because I wanted to dwell here today on the L'Hatzilcha Me'isha Zara. So take a look in the Biur HaGra. Achshav Mefaresh, the Hey Nun Vav Kuf is not really Rashi Tevis, but rather it's simply a symbol, and it means the nukva, the tzad hanekeva of the sitra achra. That the samach aleph is almost always the sitra achra. V'hu soid hata'avoni. If you remember a long time ago, it's already quite a while that we started, so the Goyim divided the koiches hanefesh into ta'avoni and ka'asoni. And we spent a lot of time on it. Here he goes back to this, and he says that the tzad hanukva of the sitra achra represents the ta'avoni, the taivas, the desires of a person. And remember that the person has instincts of all kinds, and inside of him there are forces that take over. One of the forces is called the koach ha-ka'asoni, from the word ka'as, the rage that's in a person, and all of the aspects that are associated with that. And the koach, the isha zara here, is the koyach of the taiva of a person, his desires, his interest in taking, acquiring for himself, and that of course relates to taiva and chemda, loisachmoid and loisis avim. So the Goyin says that in fact the soid hata'avoni is divided into loisachmoid and loisis avim. They are two different aspects of this yisoid. V'hinach lekas gam kein lishnayim v'hu taiva v'chemda. What is the difference, says the Gra, between taiva, loisis ave, and loisachmoid chemda? So he says, Taiva Zahu Hayoshev Bebesai, for Einay Roya, he's not interested in anything other than Rak Lamalis Tavosai Bahana Osai. Now, why does he have to be Yoshev Bebesai for this? So I think what he means is that the thing is already in front of him, as it were. In other words, imagine a glutton that's sitting by a table that's laden with all kinds of fruits and foods and meats and fishes, and he just doesn't know a limit to himself. So this is what he's describing. On the other hand, Chemda, who had dover she'ein bohem hanoas haguf, he's not sitting at a table, you know, gluttoning, but he's rather desiring things that give him importance, kavod, things that are, in a certain sense, more sophisticated yetzaharas. So he says, "Chemdo davar she'ein bohem hanoas haguf, k'moy begodim noyim ubotim noyim," because you can't eat the house, you can't eat the beged, but you enjoy the trappings of success, of the aesthetic beauty as well. I always point out that today this is more evident than ever before, that it's not a tangible physical thing, money. Because be'emes, when a person has money today, what he really has is numbers on a computer. I mean, when you think about it for a minute, a person has 10,000 shares of a very expensive stock and he's a multimillionaire. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. In the old days, coins were worth the metal content that was in them. Today, a silver dollar that the United States produces will cost you $70 or $80 to buy. Why? Because the silver content in it is worth more than the dollar that it represents on the piece of paper. But v'chein lehefech mamish. You can have a piece of paper that's worth like a shtar. Chaspa ba'alma. It's worth next to nothing. It's just a piece of paper. And on that shtar it says $1 million. But it's even more now than ever because it's not even a piece of paper anymore. It's zeros and ones when you think about it. That's all it is. So the whole yesod that the Goyen is bringing out here is more evident today than it was ever in the history of humankind. That the koyach ha'tavoni is divided into two, the piece of schmaltz fetz that you put into your mouth and the number that's on the computer. There's two different worlds. But they are both a chelek of that isha zara, which is the koyach ha'tavoni as opposed to the koyach ha'ka'asoni. So therefore, what's that? Wait. We have 5 pages there, my dear. Yeah, slowly but surely. So he says that these things that do not have a hanoas haguf, a bodily or physically, you don't enjoy them with your senses in the immediate understanding of what it means to have an enjoyment, a pleasure of the senses. It's not the sense of touch. When you touch a shtar, or even you touch the golden arendlach, it's not the touch that matters. It's the ownership of the money. It's the ownership of the possession of the money that matters. So he says that's called davar she'ein bohem hanoas haguf, ela nafshei shel adam chaymed lohem. V'zeh she'oma gezel v'arayos, nafshei shel adam mis'ave u'mechamdoson. So the Vilna Gaon, as he does almost everywhere, points out that whether it's a pasuk or even when it's a lashon of Chazal, there is an important distinction to be made when they repeat themselves. It's not a repetition. It's because it's two different inyanim. So where is this Chazal? You take a look. It's actually in several places. Makas daf chav gimel amud beis. Rav Shimon b'Rebbe Omer. Hareyu Omer Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Hadam Ki Adam Hu Hanefesh. So the Gemara here at the very end, it's the end of Makis, the Gemara is trying to tell you that the Torah requires you to strengthen yourself, Rak Chazak, not to eat blood. So he's pointing out an unusual, it's an observation about this unusual lashon of Rak Chazak. Why does a person need Rak Chazak for something that he can't stand? I mean, who goes around drinking blood? So the Gemara says, Gibakuk, if the Eibishter needs to tell you, strengthen yourself and don't give in to what desire? To drink blood? Filti achol adam? Ki adamu anefesh ma'im hadam. Shenafshay shal adam kotza mimenu. Ha'pairish mimenu mekabel schar. Nevertheless, if a person has dam in front of him and he decides he's not going to eat it, he's mekabel schar. Gezel v'arayis. Money that belongs to somebody else, that you have an interest to take away and have for yourself, and arayis. Shenafshay shal adam mis'ave lohem umecham doson. Ha'pairish mehem alachas kama v'kama. She'iska lo'i l'dayreisav l'dayreis dayreisav ad soif kol adayreis. So the Gemara here, of course, has the lashon of mis'ave lohem umecham doson. Anybody else would have walked right by this Gemara. And the Gemara is saying it for emphasis. This mis'ave umecham choymet. What's the difference? The Goyin says no, because he spoke about gezel and arayis. And arayis is that physical pleasure. And gezel is only the possession of it that gives you covet and so on. So that's why he uses a lashon of mis'ave umecham doson, because mis'ave applies to one kind, and that's yoyshev bebeisei ve'eino roya rak lamalis tavosei hagufani, and chemda applies to something that you desire to acquire, but you can't sink your teeth into it. So gezel is mecham doson, and arayis is mis'ave lohem, and it's not the same. And the same thing, if you'll take a look, it's a Gemara in Chagiga. Here the sugi is about Ein Darshan Barayis and so on, but we won't go into that, but it's the same Torah. Gezel v'arayis nafshei mecham dosim misavolahem. Right? So, and the Gemara there is actually mechalik, even though there's mecham dosim misavolahem for Gezel and Arayis, there's a Yetzahara. But there's a difference between them. And the Gemara says, what's the difference? The Gemara says, Arayis bein befonov, bein shaloi befonov, nafish yitzrei. There's a big yetzahara for Arayis, even in a person's imagination. Masha ein kein gezel, befonov nafish yitzrei. The cash register is open, the clerk just left, and you see the money there in front of you, you have a cheshek to take it. But a person doesn't dream about it a whole day. So he says, that's loy nafish yitzrei when it's shaloy befanov. That's what the Gemara says. So if you take a look at Rashi, befanov means kishu roel lefanov sheyachol ligzol. When he sees that he can do it and get away with it. Arayis is a type that a person has that doesn't let him go so easily, even when it's shaloi befanov. Even when something knows it's not possible, or it's not negeya, or it's not in front of him. He still has in the back of his mind a taiva for it. So the Gemara, in any case, in both of those places, in Chagiga and in Malkus, what does the Gemara say? Mis'avelohen umecham doson, zok devil negoin. These are two separate nekudais. One applies most correctly to gezel, and the other one applies most correctly to arayis. Which is which? Chemda is gezel, and taiva is arayis. Zok de goin weiter. He says, because it has taiva and arayis and gezel. Right? Einoi sholov ve'einoi shoiket elo roidev tomid achareihem. He says a very interesting thing. A person who has chemda is never satisfied. He's never calm. He's always chasing after them. That's very interesting. One would have said that that's also true of arayis. But you'll see soon what he has in mind. Now, in order for you to see it more clearly, I printed out the psukim themselves. If you please take a look in Shmos, Perek Chav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, of course, in Parshas Yisrael, where the Aseres Hadibros are brought, it says Loi Sachmoid on what? On Beis Reyecha. The Chemda here is on the house. Loisis Ave, it doesn't mention at all the word Loisis Ave. Instead, there's a Loisachmoid Beis Reyecha, and then there's a Loisachmoid Eishes Reyecha, V'Avdoi V'Amosoi V'Shoro V'Chamoroi V'Choy Lashel Reyecha. So in the many chilukim that are in between the first description of the Aseres Hadibros in Parshas Yisroel and the second description of Parshas Vayeschanan in Sefer Dvarim, there are many differences, many chilukim. And the Mefarshim from the very beginning were looking to see how to explain those differences. The Eben Ezra has his Mahalach, the Kli Yoker has his Mahalach, the Ksav HaKabbalah has his Mahalach, and the Gro has his Mahalach. Why do I mention Dafka those four? There are maybe 100 different Sfarim that deal with this, because these four I brought down for you here. The Eben Ezra only to some extent, it's a very long piece, and the Kli Yoker also what's only Nogeya to us, but the Kli Yoker's Mahalach is a very simple Mahalach. The Kli Yoker says that when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Chayzer al kol umay sa'olam, that they should be Mekabel the Torah, the Lashon that is given of these Aseres HaDvarim, which of course in the end they were not Mekabel, they refused it because they asked Mike Sivba. But the presentation of the Mike Sivba is appropriate to the umay sa'olam. Masha'ein kein the luchos that are described in Sefer Dvarim Parshas Vayeschanan, that is already directly and exclusively to Bnei Yisrael. And Memela, he says, that accounts for all the differences. And he goes through every one of them. And, of course, let's get now back to the Gra here. Ve'elu beiz hadvarim ksiv baseres hadibros. Ach beluchos so achroinos ksiv behefech. Eitzel Eishes Reyecha Lois Sachmoid, the Eitzel Beis Reyecha Loisis Ave. Ubeluchos Harishonos Ksiv Bishneim Lois Sachmoid. Take a look again in the Pesukim. Besides that Loisis Ave is not mentioned in Shmois, you'll take a look at the where it is mentioned, which chelik of the many things that a person, of the objects of desire, of many things that a person can desire, does the Dibrois in Vayeschanan emphasize Eishes Reyecha? What would we have expected from the Gra's whole Torah? That Eishes Reyecha, which is Arayis, should be what Lashon? Bedavka. Says Ave. And Beis Reyecha should be what Lashon? Loisachmoid. He says himself that here it's Lehefech. In the Eishes Reyecha, which, as you notice, interesting, is spun off in the second set, in Dvarim, in Parshas Vayeschanan, and it's spun off from the others, it says, B'davka what? Loisachmoid. And B'negeya, the others, it says, Loisis Avem. So the Goyin is explaining here. He says, listen to this. V'chein amali moi v'rabi. This is the one who's recording the pirush of the Gra and Mishlei is saying, I asked him mipnei ma v'amali shenochinu. He says this is eir akurat. In other words, there's no problem here. But he didn't explain to him. He didn't explain to him why. He says, "V'lo izachisi lishmaya mimenu hatam." So hagam that the Goyin is explaining, not just here in Mishlei Beis Perik Pasuk Tezayin, but maybe in 10 or 15 places in Mishlei, this yisoid that is tavoni and kasoni, and in tavoni there's two inyonim, taiva and chemda applies to dvarim she'ein aguf ne'enemiyem, and taiva is dvarim she'aguf ne'enemiyem. Yisiluch oirin that says hadibris number two. In Vayeschanan, that Loisachmoid is Dafkan Eishes Reyecha, and Loisis Ave is Dafkan Beis Reyecha. So what's the pshat? So he says it's correct, but Loisachis Lishmoyim Menu Atam. So he tries to give a tam himself. Nira Lanius Daiti. מפני שאסור לנו להחמיד אפילו בלב. ולכן כסיב באשס ריח אולי סחמיד אפילו בלוי הנועס הגוף. So he says a very interesting thing. He says that in Arayis, when you're talking about Arayis as loisis ave, as tavoni, what do you mean? So he touched up that the goyin's kavona was doimed to the glutton who has the food on the table. In other words, he's oisik, you should forgive me, he's oisik in the maisa of Arayis. But when the erva is somewhere on the street, or in his imagination, he's not oisik in a maisa, and he's not mamale his taiva like mamale kresoi, he is just dreaming, he's imagining. That, he says, is really loy sachmeid. It's benegeya de erva, but it's a koyach of chemda and not taiva. That's how he's touching up. He says, therefore, that is loy sachmeid be'eshes re'echa afilu b'loy hanos haguf. Right? Ve'ein l'shano is b'luchos achroinus v'lichtoiv loy sisave, ki mikol shken hu, Miloy Sachmoid, Shehi Beloy Hanos Haguf, Vahainu Belev. He says like this, what the second Luchos are doing are making an even more demanding condition on the Yid, that not only is he over if he's Misave, in other words, when he's Isaac in it, but even when he's dreaming about it. And that's why it says, Loy Sachmoid Eishes Riecha. Right? Umikoshkein taiva shu anos haguf, vahainu bepoil. V'yefshe litlis v'loyme shedavka banos haguf shu bepoil hu da osur, demkeno yol litlis lesisave, dechamida belevu, sheimba zahanos haguf. Avo bebeis reyecha, hutzrach lishnois beluchois haachroinus v'lichtoiv lesisave. Why does it have to repeat lesisave? Davka by beis reyecha. Unlike in the Luchos HaRishonis, when it's enough to say Loi Sachmoid by both, Dim Loi HaYakosuv Loi Sachmoid Hav Aminu Dedavka B'Poyel Hu Da'Oser Hav HaChamida B'Lev Shori Mashikosuv B'Loshon Loi Sachmoid Mishum DeBebayis Ein Anos Guv Shayach Loi Sachmoid Af B'Poyel L'Kach Chutzro HaKosuv L'Shanis V'Lich DeBluchos HaChonis V'Loi Sisave Shamin and Da'akochach Mashikosuv B'Luchos HaRishonis Loi Sachmoid Hainu B'Lev ומשום שבפויל יש יויסר הנועה מבלב, עדיין שייך שפר לו שנטייבו, אף שאין בו זה הנועס הגוף ממש. He's struggling. He says that in the area of Arayis there's something that is not immediate and not taiva, and therefore use lo shnoi sachmoy. And on the other hand, in the area that's dafka not Arayis, where normally it's chemda, there is an aspect that gets close to taiva that you can even say loisis ave. And he says, af she'ein bo zeh hanos haguf mamish, mikol mokoim neged achamido shehu belev, she'ein bo hanos klal, choshuv hapa'ulo hanos haguf. Avo neged hanos haguf mamish, hu achilu shti o mishgol, an arayis mamish, hu shari dvorim, ein zeh choshuv rak chemdo, af bepoil mamish, ki ein bo zeh hanos haguf be'emes. So he wants to divide the thing and make a third category, kimat. That in those inyonim that are physical, the desire for the physical, when it's not in front of you, is chemda also. And in the dvarim that are not physical, the actual pa'ula comes close to some physical hana, even though it's not quite. So what he's saying, in other words, is when I actually put my hand into the cash register, and I fondle those coins before I put them in my pocket, there is an almost visceral hanor in the taivas hamomen. You understand what I'm saying? So that's lahavdil, when the Amoraim wanted to have a very, very good feeling right when they were about to learn, and they wanted to feel good, so they would put their hand in the pocket and feel the golden arendlach in the pocket. There's a maisa that they tell over my Zayda Zechon Levrocha, the Ostav Kalashina Rebbe. So he says that there was a Yid that was a Goysis. He was on the verge of going to the Olam HaEmes. And he asked his Shamoshim, whoever was watching him, taking care of him, to, in the last minutes of his life, he asked him, please give me my money pouch. So they thought maybe he wants to be Mechalik Mois of Litzdoka, Velvet. So he takes the money pouch, takes out the coins, fingers the coins. Then he puts it back into the money pouch and he hands it back to them. So he looks at them and he says, you want to know what I just did? This must have been one of these Sharfa Kotzke Hasidim types. You want to know what I just did? He's Geises, but it's meanwhile he's telling them all kinds of mices and stories. So I'll tell you what I did. I wanted to know if I'm still alive. When I felt the hanah and the geschmack of holding those coins, I knew that I was still alive. So there's a certain inyan that he's trying to say, the Talmud of the Gra, that's borderline. In other words, it is be'etzem the desire to have covered, the desire to have possessions in general. But me'idach gisa, sometimes it is almost on the verge of a physical hanah. When it is the pa'ula itself of stealing, etc., etc. I told you once that one of the honorees at a certain event got up, and when he received his plaque or whatever it is, and he said he doesn't understand why there isn't, like, Shahakal Nia Bidvaray and Bayre Mine Mizaynes and Bayre Mine Besamim, why there isn't a bracha uncovered. It's so geschmack. So this is really what we're talking about. When you get the plaque, you know, it's different than when somebody, you know, gives you a compliment or something. And when somebody gives you a compliment, it's bigger than just feeling good about yourself, etc., etc. It comes to a point where it's almost, you can smack, people say that he smacked his lips. What's the pshat? Smacked his lips is for food. You know, when you begin to salivate. But when a person's about to make a coup and take over a company and bury all the other shareholders, he starts to salivate also. Because it's a natural instinct. He's about to eat it up. Yeah. So this is the yesoid, right? When you're playing chess and you got him, and you're about to say the word checkmate, it's a different kind of hanon, and a different kind of taiva than the person's just scheming, you know, to win the game. It is like that. So that is the attempt here to explain the Gra, even in the context of the Aseres Hadibros. I just want to point out a little bit more, a little bit deeper. The Gra in Perek Chav Zayin in Mishlei, and I brought the pasuk for you in its entirety, so you should see it. It says a very, very interesting pshat here also. And it's based on the mashal of this pasuk, because the pasuk is merely a mashal. Kach bigdoi ki orav zor, uba'ad nochriya chavelu. Chavola here does not mean to wound, like chavelu mazik. Chavola here is like sachboil salmas reyecha. It's taking as a mashkin. And kach bigdoi is also taking as a mashkin, or taking for payment. Now, an arev, you know what an arev is. An arev is a cosigner, somebody who agrees to pay in case the loive does not. And you can have, of course, here a stranger. So the Goyin says as follows. Kach bigdoi. So he points out that a zar, an arev, al pi halacha, is different than the loive himself. In the loive, it says that you're not allowed to go and take away his beged from him. And the kolshkein lavoi lebeisai. You loisavoi al beisai lavoi davoita. It's a beferish alav. Masha ein kein lo arev muta kolzer. Right, the kolshkein misha arav baad goy. And certainly somebody who is arev for a stranger. The zeshu amar kachas bigdoi bechutz bashuk ki arav zor u baad nochriya shu goy leich lebeisai vechavlehu. So what's this marshal all about? What's this business that in certain cases you can even go into his house and take away his possessions if he doesn't pay up? So he says, Va'inyan, ki zar v'nachriya heim kinui beiz amidois harois v'heim hataiva v'achemda. He says, what is the stranger? These are midos that are strange to you. Midos that are inappropriate to you are called zar and nachriya. So what is it? Sokta ha-taiva hi bifnim, va-chemda hi mi-bachutz. Why is taiva bifnim? Because generally, the immediacy of the milui taiva, as we said before, he's sitting at the table with the food in front of him. He's nabach in the bedroom, v'chulei v'chulei. But when he's chasing after something, usually he's a roidef mamon, he's a roidef kovoid. It's very interesting. The expressions are always roidef acha kovoid. Right? So he says, "Achemdoi mi bachutz." Right, I remember when I learned this for the first time, I got scared out of my wits and I started to shake. I literally started to shake. Do you know what he's saying here? He's saying that it isn't just the etzem zach. It makes chor of the person. It takes away from him his midos tovos. It robs him, like taking the payment for the halvor that you didn't pay up from the orif. It's neuklin me'itoi midos hatovim. And as the goyin always does, since there's taiva v'chemda, and there's zara nachriya, so he says there are two kinds of midos tovos that it takes away. In parallel. Which are they? Echad amidos hapnimin v'huma shebein odom la'amokoyim. Very interesting. That's neshama dikazachen. V'echad mibachutz, which interpersonal relationships, ma shebein odom l'chaveira. Shebachutz nikroim begodov v'chalukov. V'ze shama lokach bigdoi. Heim amidoshi mibachutz ki orav zor shiyachemdo. Ubad nochriyo shiyataivu chavleyu ma shebifnim. You go into the house and you take away what's inside. What is he saying over here? So I think that what the goyin is saying, maybe the key is said, not only in the psychology of Averis, but just in the etzemahus of a person. You know, when Chazal say that Averis gereris Avera, mitzvah is gereris mitzvah, schar mitzvah mitzvah, schar Avera Avera, there's a corruption of the personality that is extremely subtle. It's insidious. It's kichtarein like a vellum, and you don't really know that it's happening until it's too late. A person that is mole taiva, it corrupts the tzad hatoiv shebay. It isn't that you have compartments, and you're good, and sometimes you're not so good. If you're not so good, then it corrupts the good, and it undermines the good. And this can be explained on many levels, but kipshutay, it's a very pashut zach. Think about it for a minute. The ramifications of the taiva for arayis, which are not yet at the level of being over the avera physically. Remember, we learned the Rambam that one of the most difficult things you to do tshuva on is histaklus. Why, says the Rambam, in ilchus tshuva? Because a person says, "What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? I'm Isa. What's wrong with looking?" Is the emes? There's something about milui hayetzer. It's never positive, but it quiets the person and he goes weiter. The taiva of istaklus never quiets the person. So memele, it agitates him, and it agitates him means that the calmness that a person needs in life is missing. But it's much more than that. The whole yesoid of loisachmen loisis ave. Which we mentioned, I believe, in the past. He says that how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell you not to have a desire? Either you have it or you don't have it. But if you have it, you have it. It comes from outside. It invades. It takes over. What am I supposed to do not to have it? So Be'emes, in the Rambam and so on, you see that the Halacha itself is talking about acting upon it. In the sense that, let's say you desire somebody has a car. He has a very beautiful, old, antique car. And you have a mishigas, you have to have that car. But you're not going to steal it from him. Because the police will catch you and put you into jail. So you go to him day after day, hour after hour, and try to wear him down. And you offer him money. And you offer him all kinds of compensation. And he says no. This is a one... Yekara Metzias, I've coddled this since I was young. I've put thousands of hours into it, It's part of me, it's part of my life, I'm not parting with it for anything in the world. And he just keeps pressing and pressing and pressing, and finally he's matzliach and he gets the sale. So that person was over on Loy Sachmat. Now the Nakuda here, according to the Evan Ezra, is that you don't have to end up doing anything at all. So how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu legislate? Mainly if the inyan is that you keep pressing and pressing until you make the sale. So it's making the sale under those conditions, that's the Avera. It's a Maisa Avera. So he tells you, don't do that Maisa Avera. But according to the Evan Ezra, it's feelings. How do you legislate feelings? I do want it. What can I help myself? So the Evan Ezra says, he says that when you have a peasant that's plowing in the field, I'm just embellishing it a little bit, but that's the point. You have a peasant plowing in the field, and right next to the main road, and he's plowing the field, minding his own business, and all of a sudden there's a lot of tumult, and horses ride by, and soldiers, and then little carriages, or today, you know, you have the police cars, and then you have the fancy black cars with the sirens, medala mices, and then suddenly the carriage with the princess passes by. And she's all decked up in her regalia, and she's beautiful besides everything else. And she represents power and wealth and everything a person could possibly desire, if you're a yolt, that anything a person could possibly desire. So if that's the case, shouldn't the Ish Kfari, like, you know, get excited and get all... Nothing. He looks up, and he gives a big smile, and he waves to everybody, and then he goes back to his plowing. So the Evan Ezra says, because not even Shaykh in a million years, such a liaison, such a connection. So Memela, because it's Mamish, not Shaykh, Memela, he does not have Taka any Chemda whatsoever. There's no Lois Achmed. So that's very nice. What is he saying? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu can legislate that you should be there at Ish Kfari. In other words, he's saying like this, Eino Chanami, if you feel you're Shaykh to the Parsha, nothing's going to stop your desire. But if you understand that you are not Shaykh to the Parsha, you won't have any desire. So the legislation is to realize that you don't have any Shaykhs to her. Now I was thinking that the flip side of that is the Chmamish, the biggest Churban a person can have. Think about it for a minute. I'll give you a tiny little breckle of a mushel, and you may not agree with me about this, to tell you the truth. I know a lot of people that think it's very extreme. No? Everybody's entitled to his thinking. I happen to be very cautious about these things, because I don't trust a person's Yetzer Hara to that much. In that respect, I'm very much like the Satmar Chassidim, you know. They have a very big respect for the Yetzer Hara's Kaychus. And they're very, very makbid and machmir in a lot of these inyonim, because they don't trust the Yetzer Hara as much as other people do. Ani ekra v'loy ata, you know. So a couple gets married, and they ask me, there's a minig in this particular circles that couples invite each other over for Shabbos meals when they just after they got married, to get friendly, to get to know the people in the neighborhood. And on the surface, it sounds like it's a gewaldic idea. Erlich, a Yidin, dressed sneerstick, no problem whatsoever. I tell them not to do it. Why not? I said, give a kuka minut. You're married, whoever that Chaim Yankel is, you're married, and your wife happens to be very beautiful. She happens to be. Ein isha l'liyoyfi, the Gemara Chagiga, ein isha l'liyoyfi. Some Mepharshim say, Yisha Yiras Hashem, he tis halol. If she has Yiras Shamayim, then even her chayin and her yoyfi is wonderful. It's only without Yiras Hashem that it's a terrible thing. Sheka hachayin v'hevel ha-yoyfi. Yoyfi is yoyfi. You see, the Gemara describes, Yiska zu Sarah. Why is she called Sarah? Yiska? Because Socha Sa'ilim b'yofia. I mean, it's, you know, yoyfi is yoyfi. And the other fellow's married to a wonderful girl. Tremendous tzaddikus, wonderful midos, brilliant, alamailas. But she's very plain. Now, they come to visit, and that fellow who's married to the girl who's plain is sitting opposite your wife. I'm not talking about taiva. No. But I'm talking about, oi, I wish I could have had a wife that also is beautiful. What does that do? It introduces a worm into his brain and into his heart that damages the marriage. It does. It damages the marriage. Ah, you'll tell me, but he walks in the street, v'chule, v'chule. The answer is because that's out of your orbit. That's taka, a gather of taiva that's physical. But when you imagine for a moment, that's not shaykh to me, I have nothing to do with them. The Vilna Goyim said that the women should not go to shul, because all they do in shul is compare clothes. It's a peladik gezach, but that's the way we are. And lemaisa, the bacher comes, the chosn bacher, who's married, just married, comes into the house. And his wife married him, even though he's not exactly kvad peh, he's just a big shaskin. He never talks. He's wonderful, he's good, he's frum. It says in Pirkei Avos Lamatzasi L'guf Tov Mishasika. But she wouldn't mind to have somebody that's charming and makes a roshim wherever he goes, and people should admire him and respect him. But she wasn't zaycha to such a husband. He's a shaskin, and some shaskin. And especially so when he's amongst strangers, when he's amongst other people. Maybe in the house, when he's just with her, he can squeak out a few words here and there. But with others, mamish not. So he comes in to visit, and he sits down, and they make kiddush, and then they start to talk. And the host is charming beyond belief. Every word is like a clip in the peril. Everything that he says is brilliant, it's so interesting, and he knows exactly what to say to everybody, just in the right way at the right time. Onyena schweigt like the mummy in the tomb. Und the Shaila is, was tracht sie? So if she's the Balas Madrega of the kind, Achvesa, like Yeshus Rameir or something like that, I don't know, then she says, Vasa, that's not mine, and that's not my husband, and my husband has more milas than that. And like Matzah Dugav Tov Mishasika, and Shasika is wonderful because you never end up saying Lashon Haras and things you're not supposed to. What woman thinks like that? Most people would say any woman that thinks like that should have her head examined. You come into the house, and you leave the house, and you come back home, and there's a little tip in Hartzen, and it's almost Baal Korchach, that she says, you know, he's wonderful, my husband, but boy, do I wish that he would be able to talk like that. And that puts a little verimal again into the heart. And so on and so forth. So I, you'll say, but what do you mean? Social? Right, maybe 10 years down the road. This is meine, and this is deine, and I am the mylis, and if the marriage, Baruch Hashem, is going well, and you have children, and then you'll have 8 o'clock, such an ananda zachen ganzen. But mamish at the beginning, when nothing has been clarified, nothing straightened out, you know, I have this word that I say all the time. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, in the Novi, it's a daftar of Pashas Lech Lecha. So the Haftarah says, Ha'imel ha-devek toivu v'yichaskehu b'masmerim b'al yimait. He says the devek, the glue is good, and then he strengthens it with nails so that it shouldn't sway, it shouldn't move. Lo yimait. So here's the simple question. When I was learning, I was mamish a youngster. I said, if the masmerim are necessary, then it's a simon the devek is not so good. Because if the devek is good, if the glue is good, what do you need the nails for? Believe it or not, this kasha was for answered to me by a carpenter in the mountains. There was a yid by the name of Reb Willie Cohen, a chosh of a finer yid, an elecha yid. And he used to work in the yeshiva in South Fallsburg. And in the summertime, he used to help us in the camp that my Rebbetzin runs. So he was working on a shtender that he was making, a beautiful piece. And I see that he takes this glue, mamish, like the pasuk came to life. He takes the glue and he puts it together, and then he takes these tiny little nails and he bangs it into the wood. Fregechem, was that the nagel? What do you need all these nails for? So he says, I'll tell you what it is. This glue is the best money can buy. And when it hardens, it's like steel mamish. You cannot break the pieces of wood together even with a hammer. No vas. It takes time. And the fear is that during the time that the glue is still soft, if the wood budges a little bit, one from the other, when it hardens, it's mamish fakrumt forever. So you have to make sure it's not going to move. And then when you see that it's good and hard, you pull out the nails. As I tell somebody the whole time, habe gleich verstanden pshatn dem posuk, ha'ayma la devek toivu. But until the toiv takes hold, you have to have a chaskeu b'masmeim. So I said, devek is doch the davak b'yishtai. In fact, these words, take out every copy that you have of the Tanayim. And you'll see on the Keppel, Matze Isha, Matze Toiv, Ha'oimel Adevek Toiv. What's the pshat? Because Ha'oimel Adevek Toiv, the glue of the Dveikus of the Ish and the Isha, V'davak B'Ishtoi, V'hayu L'Basar Echad. But till the V'hayu L'Basar Echad takes hold, you need Masmerim, Rabbi say. And those Masmerim are positive and negative. The positive Masmerim, what do you think we have all this celebration? Celebration after celebration. The whole world asks the Kasha, the happiest people in the world, the Chas and Kala, and we have to make them happy. Yes, absolutely. Because strangers, and they have questions, and they wonder, and they worry, did I do the right thing? Is it going to work? This, that, that. Till you get accommodated, until you get acclimated to one another, you need one simcha after another. You start with a vote, and you have an ufruf, and you have a Shabbos kala, and you have a chasana mit a ganze parad, and then you have the sheva brochus, and then you have shana rishona. It's interesting. These are all masmerim. And after that, now you're on your own. I'm a ladevik type. In that kufa especially, you can't rock the boat. Because then Taki, you create a shtickl krumkeit, and the devik preserves the krumkeit forever. And it is like that. A person has to be happy. What did the Chafetz Chaim say? We say, Sameach tesamach reyim ahuvim, kesameicha cho yitzircha began Eden mikedem. Zok the Chafetz Chaim, in Gan Eden mikedem, there was one thing. Sinodo ein vibe. That's it in the world. There's nobody to look at. Zokta azay das to film wegen deinem. Kesameicha cho yitzircha began Eden mikedem. There's nobody else on earth. It's just your wife. Nobody else. You don't see anything. You don't hear anything. You don't know anything. There's only one.
Where do we know there's an ordinance of La Sachma from the Torah, from the Gemara, for women?
Oh, you're asking Stam a question.
Yeah.
Is the wife? Yeah. So that's a little.
Technically, she could be married to a man who's married. Technically, I mean, so a man could have more than one wife.
Yeah. No, you.
It's
mamish punfaket. What you're saying now is a good question, but what you just said a second after is it should be punfaket. Hagoba atzmacha. If I can marry another woman, technically speaking, if in theory, I mean, I could marry another woman, that means that I can think about another woman. But if I am married to a man, I can't be married to another man. So my idea of thinking about any other man is already treif like chazer for any reason in the world. The teretz is, the Torah is speaking b'loshen b'nei Adam because the natural instincts of the koyach ha'avoni is much greater by the man than by the woman. I want you to know something. We were zoiche in the modern world to have a whole variety of hatzlochas that the Sitra Achra in all of history never dreamed of, they were zoicha to accomplish today in the matter of 100 years. And they have built up the taiva of a woman for a man that it should be more or less on the same level. And the desire to have the hanor, it's very remarkable. The Gemara keeps talking about the man's achrayas to be mahana, the wife. That's the shail of how long Aina is, how much is the interval before you mechuyev, and it says she'era ksusa v'oinosa lo yigra. It's a beferish halacha. So someone once asked me, and what about the man? So it sounds like she has a desire, and you have to fulfill her desire, and he doesn't have any desire, so there's nothing about her fulfilling his desires. I told him, Mamish, it's Moshe Kapoya what you're saying. The Torah doesn't even talk about her fulfilling his desire, because that's what marriage is. It's built into the Yesod Advarim. It's only to acknowledge that she also has desires that the Torah says lo yigra. It's mamish punfaket, and that today is no longer true, because artificially they pounded and pounded and pounded. It's part of the idea that a woman has to be equal. It's part of the idea that a woman has also feelings of desire. It's part of the idea that a woman also has biology. And more important than anything else perhaps in all of this, it's part of the idea that tznius no longer exists b'chlal. And that means that a woman can be toveya b'peh. A woman can say, this is I mean, with the most vulgar lashonas, because avada, if you really dig deep enough, there's taiva in a woman too. So why dig? Let it be on the surface. That's what the Sitra Achra accomplished today, amongst a variety of other hatzlachas. Never mind the vastutzach with the zocher. Echad dezel bezach. Before that, it was a zach that the person was uncomfortable with. Now, the other people are uncomfortable. They're running the world. Chas v'shalom, you should say a word against them. And the apparatus and the structure and the politics of the thing is the chnayr v'ayim. Vos, Teretz says, it's taka not natural. And it's not biologically sound and corroborated. Those instincts are to have children. And now the scientists are trying to find biological examples of this. Chas v'shalom, that the teva, you know, they want to find like it before the Mabul of Noach. That's what they're looking for. They want to bedavka find hashkasa, because that will prove that, you see, even in teva there's such a thing. The mamish megrebelt von unten to make the sitra achra hash ibe the ganze welt. In this particular area, though, what I'm trying to say is that the masmerim that are necessary are positive and negative. The negative masmerim are the positive ones, like I told you. You mesameachos mekala, you make sure that everybody is attended to and taken care of, and you give them a lot of chizuk and so on. But what's the negative? The negative is to avoid all the pitfalls that dafka people just starting out. And how many shidduchim and how many marriages became chorev because the girl or the boy decided, this is not for me. What do you mean it's not for you? What is for you and what is not for you? How does a person know what he needs from a marriage? And I would go so far as to say, and I know that nobody would agree with me, that sometimes you need the churban that the marriage creates. For whatever reason, whether it's a Gilgal inyan or whether a person needs to be punished, chlesnisht. You know, there's the famous joke that the person did a terrible aveira, and he came to a rav, and the rav said, I don't know, you want a tikkun for this aveira? I don't know if such a tikkun even exists, but if it does, it's got to be the following. You have to find a woman who's the worst possible woman in the world, an evil woman, and marry her. Because it says, your aveira deserves penalty of death. And you're not going to be killed. You're not going to commit suicide. But I have an answer for you, because the pasuk says that Mar Mimovis is an Isha Ra. So if you marry this Isha Ra, you'll be all right. Anyhow, he scours the countryside and he goes from town to town, from village to village. From time to time, he seems almost a chaper, and then he finds she did a good deed. She said a good word. She's not as bad as what he needs. Anyhow, finally comes to a certain town and he finds her finally. She is a machashefa of the highest order. And he's already, like we said before, smacking his lips. Ah, yetzolochav mein tikkun. And they get married. The day after marriage, breakfast in bed for the husband, hands him the slippers. You are my sar and my tzaddik and my goyin and my godel. What can I do for you next? And now, fish meshuga. He says, finally, he says, I can't understand it. I did such a good research. It took about Shidduchim and Shadchanim. They ask all kinds of questions. He said, I did the best research in the world. Everybody, Peh Echad, said, you couldn't do worse than this lady. And that's Takawai. She never got married. She's an old hag and a miserable woman. Vos tutzachta. So she says, you think I didn't make my own research? I'll be good to you for the rest of your life, but for me, you're not going into Gan Eden. Eddie Arbikitsa said, this yesod, you understand. You don't know why a person is married to the person that he's married to. McCann came on, Jesus. But no. This was not in response to what you're saying. I'm just going back. I'm saying your kasha is a good kasha. I really can't discuss it too much now. Except for what I said. That the koyach hatavoni in the men in these inyonim is much stronger. So the Torah is dibro kilushoinim, that avada givis, a woman is not allowed to do that either. But loisachmer, a man is less likely, and that's what I added, that bizman hazeh, they made the people so meshuga that maybe today it's on a par. If you belong to those circles, rachman ol itzlah. The world is a very, very tough world for an Elohayid, because it's not only a question of of doing Averis, and Averis being in front of you, whether a person's dressed Sneistik or not dressed Sneistik, obviously makes a tremendous difference in your desire, in what's Megarit Yetzirah in a person. It's that the values and the attitudes are so totally opposite to Torah. It's mamish, you can't walk out of your Dalet Amos. You can't walk out of Dalet Amos until you're confronted with totally antithetic hashkafas. And they're very powerful because the world, the world's a powerful world. The world has a lot of dignity to it. You know, look what they're accomplishing. They're cloning human beings. I mean, they're artificially created bacteria just now. Ain't Kleinigkeit, man. So in that environment, it's almost impossible not to be nichshol in basic hashkafas olam. You have to stick to the straight and narrow more than ever before. It's a very big inyan. Where you are, what tzviva you're in, where your children are, who their friends are. Because today you walk mamish one foot out the door. Used to be a proizdar. There used to be a courtyard till you got to the Rishus HaRabim. Today the Rishus HaRabim is in the house, mamish. It's an unbelievable zman that we're living in. So somebody just told me they're learning the Daf Yomi. The Daf Yomi describes exactly how it is now. And a chanami, it does. So Daf and Hav Mas Mashiach Bet Kumin. Anyhow, I have to stop here. And